The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Today and this week, we will continue our focus on the messianic thread running through Scripture. Today, a little more on the angel of the Lord, who appears at least 10 recorded times, maybe many more, in the Old Testament. Thank you for joining us, friend. This is the ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, located in North Texas. You can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Many things to interest you there, including hundreds of articles about free grace, information about our conference ministry, about our online seminary offering an MDiv degree, about our magazine, also called Grace in Focus, and our bookstore, where, among other things, you will find Bob Wilkins' most recent book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Come and visit us at faithalone.org. Now, with today's aforementioned discussion about the angel of the Lord, here is Bob Wilkin along with Philippe Sterling.
Well, Philippe, we've been discussing the Old Testament messianic thread, and we've gotten to where we're discussing the angel of Yahweh or the angel of the Lord. And we've already discussed part of that, but we're going to have a bit more discussion, so maybe you could pick us up there.
Oh, sure. Okay, so the angel of Yahweh is this enigmatic figure that appears under the designation of the angel of Yahweh 10 times. But also we can infer other times he would have appeared, such as walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, probably the pre-incarnate Christ in some kind of a human form, you know, walking with them. And then specifically appearing 10 times under that title of the angel of Yahweh.
Now, the one about the garden, that's Genesis 3:8.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. In the cool of the day, as was his habit, it seems, there. But of course,
they were hiding.
They were hiding from him, and he sought them out, you know, called them out, and made those certainly the consequences of what they had done, but yet with a clear promise in Genesis 3:15, of his ultimate victory over sin and Satan and death, too. And that provides really the starting point for the whole messianic thread through the Old Testament. But now in dealing with his people, he 10 times appears, and it spreads the time from Abraham, Hagar, and takes us, you know, all the way through in First Chronicles, which in the Hebrew Bible, First and Second Chronicles would have been the last books in the Tanakh.
Right. You know, the very last book of the entire Hebrew Old Testament.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there he also appears to David in First Chronicles 21:14 to 27 as the angel who's about to bring judgment for David's pride in numbering the people of Israel. But of course, that lays the ground literally for where the temple, you know, would be erected, and where he, the angel of the Lord, ultimately in his incarnation, you know, would go to that very area on Mount Moriah to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the people. And then also we can go to Zechariah, where he also appears, you know, as the angel of Yahweh, you know, through that. And Zechariah is one of those books that so very clearly tells us of the first and second advent of the Messiah.
Right.
Too. So the angel of the Lord there then appears, you know, throughout, you know, Genesis to Chronicles to Zechariah, you know, all right.
So I have a kind of a speculative question here. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, appeared more often than the Old Testament tells us? In other words, we know he appeared these many occasions, but do you think he appeared more than the Old Testament tells us? Is this just the tip of the iceberg?
I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's not only those 10 titled appearances, but there's a multitude of others where he's directly speaking and appearing. He appeared to Abraham numerous times.
Right, before he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18.
Right.
Remember they have that comic discussion of how about if there's 50 righteous people and Abraham's negotiating 45, 40, 30, 20.
Yeah. So it's to him that he's interceding as if he's interceding to God.
Right. Yeah. And you have other situations like, the fourth man in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
You have Manoah and his wife, Samson's parents. They surprised they don't die when they see
Well, that is it. That is now, one is of the titled. One? That is one of the titled appearances as the angel of Yahweh.
Okay.
There too. So I think we can extend that. Whenever there's any revelation given, I think it is through the angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament. He speaks. He, in our times, actually appears.
Yeah, I wondered, if he didn't appear to people in every generation from Adam and Eve until, let's say, Malachi. Now, or even during the silent years, even during the intertestamental period, he might have appeared to people. I mean, we don't know. It's speculation. What we know is what the scriptures tell us. But we do know that even after his earthly ministry and his death and resurrection and ascension, he does appear to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
And in Arabia after that.
And he appears to him, I think, on his way to Rome to encourage him and to strengthen him for his journey to Rome as a prisoner.
Yes. You know?
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
I think we can speculate that there's always a believing remnant, we know, from Adam and Eve onward.
Right.
And certainly for Israel, there's always a believing remnant during the intertestamental period. There was a believing remnant, and some of the Maccabees very well may have been that.
Well, isn't the Feast of Purim from the intertestamental period?
The Purim is Esther.
Esther and
Mordecai. Right. But Hanukkah, the Feast of Celebration, Hanukkah came from the
Maccabean
revolt and the cleansing, of the temple and the oil never gave out, in the candelabra that they relit and everything. And so to this day, that is celebrated by the Jewish people.
Yeah.
But I think, certainly we know there were the post-resurrection appearances and the post-ascension appearances, perhaps to John as well, John the Apostle, in Revelation 1, before he's taking in vision, to see what's happening in the third heaven.
Now, does the expression, the angel of the Lord, appear in the New Testament?
Not under that designation that I'm aware of.
Right. So it's conceivable possibly that sometimes when you hear of an angel, it could have been the Lord, but probably not.
Right. The specific instances we have, of course, are Gabriel by name.
Right.
And we're not sure, of the angels who were there, certainly appearing to Mary Magdalene and at the empty tomb and in delivering Peter as he was, and James was beheaded, but Peter, of course, released.
Well, I did, Philippe, take a second out there and look on Logos, and it does occur once in, Acts 7:30, but that's Stephen talking about the angel of the Lord appearing to Moses.
Right. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And so that takes us back to Exodus chapter 3
and
the appearance of the angel of Yahweh to Moses. And that is one of the 10 titled appearances of the angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament.
Well, this is a really good study, and I'd urge all of you to take the time to do this. Take your concordance out, look up the angel of the Lord, and I believe we put this in the magazine as well. We have I'm not sure this exact thing. You have an article we're running from you in the May-June issue called Christ in the Psalms, and you have a number of verses from the Psalms.
Yes, and we can spend one of the sessions, talking about that.
Right.
Perhaps the one the chart and brief explanation of the angel of Yahweh.
Yes.
You might have submitted it for future.
We'll do that too. There you go. Yes. All right. So what's our next issue as we're doing this caravan on the Old Testament messianic thread? What's the next step?
Yeah. Sometimes as we follow the thread, and we come to various books, such collections of Psalms,
right,
and to the book of Isaiah, to the book of Zechariah, that thread really becomes a woven tapestry with a distinct image,
right,
of this, of the Messiah that emerges. So perhaps we might want to go to the book of Psalms and see the total image that emerges there, as well as Isaiah and perhaps Zechariah as well.
That'd be good. You know, we're doing an Old Testament commentary, which we hope to have done by August of 2026, and then typeset and have it in print by December of 2026. And I'm doing the first book, which is Psalms 1 through 41, because there are five books in the Psalms. Whoever edited the Psalter broke it down in that way. It's been fascinating going through. I'm at chapter 40 now. I've got one to go. I just love working on this. I remember taking the Psalms course. You had Alan Ross.
Yes,
didn't you?
Then Dr. Ross.
I had Dr. Ross for Psalms, as well as I think you and I had him for Leviticus as well, and I think Genesis. But in any regard, the Psalms are terrific, and there's a lot about Messiah. What do we call the Psalms that are dealing with the Messiah?
Royal Psalms. A lot of times they're called the Royal Psalms, but I think general designation of when we see every aspect of his life presented to us.
So
in the book of Psalms, so it's a messianic figure.
So messianic Psalms, royal Psalms, that sort of thing. We have quite a few of them, and quite a few of them are quoted in the New Testament, too.
Yes. In fact, what I have, the chart on Christ in the Psalms, is based upon all the New Testament quotations or allusions to the Psalms that's used of Christ in the New Testament, and going back to that in all of the Psalms and seeing the total picture of Christ's life that emerges.
All right. Well, we're out of time for this show, but what we'll do is we'll talk about Christ in the Psalms and look at some of the specific passages that are cited in the New Testament in the next episode. In the meantime, let's
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, The Messianic Thread in the Psalms. Please join us, and in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.